Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, folks. As usual, it's Taylor Nielsen.
Hey, and it's me, Jordan Macon. Co-hosts and great friends, right?
Great friends. We're going to spend a lot of time together this weekend.
For some reason, I wanted to say too much, but I really meant not enough.
Thanks, Jordan.
Got some episodes to record. We got a project we're working on together.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm stoked to be doing the podcast with you.
Yeah. We've
been hanging out with dry bar comedians, get some laughs, learn about them. What could you not like about that?
Well, not much.
Not much, especially not much when you learn who our comic is today.
I can't wait. It's going to be a great episode.
Should we hit the clip?
Hit the clip.
I taught middle school. Oh, is right. That is right. Yeah. And I left teaching to pursue comedy full time for the pay increase and the job stability. And it's going great. My career is going so well. I moved into my sister's basement and we're loving it, right? She doesn't make me pay rent, but the one rule is I do have to have a day job. So that's a hate crime. And it's like, that's not right. This is not right. So I ended up working retail, and I thought it would be easy because I was a teacher for 9 years. I was like, how hard could it be? I was wrong. Oh my gosh, right? Because when I was a teacher, I could just end every conversation with, well, I'm bigger than you. And it was the end of the conversation. And that doesn't work in retail, right?
All right, as you saw from that wonderful clip, our comedian today, you know him from his dry bar specials, Vertical Claps, and coming out, or just came out when this episode's released, am I right? The Shape of Where. Give it up for Ryan Irwin, everyone.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Thanks. You got here early. Your hair's all nice.
Thank you. Got to get pretty. Got to look pretty. I put on a fun shirt.
Yeah. Dinosaurs.
We love it.
How many dinosaur shirts do you have, Ryan?
I have 9. And then, I'm not kidding. I have an orange one with Godzilla's. I have a pink one with pastel dinosaurs. I have a Jurassic Park one that's half black, half like velociraptor stripes. I have a green one that doesn't quite fit. we're working on it. I have 2 different shades of a pink one, and I had a Reptar one. Reptar from Rugrats, the dinosaur.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Reptar. I count that as a dinosaur.
Is that a kid in a dinosaur?
No, it's just a dinosaur. It's a show about talking toddlers. I think we can give them a talking a moving.
I don't
dinosaur.
Know the lore very well. Where does the dinosaur come in?
Reptar? It's their.
I didn't have cable. As
it's
a kid.
It's their cartoon show they watch. We watch the Rugrats on the cartoon screen, and they watch Reptar on their cartoon screen.
People thought Inception was original, but really they've been doing this for a long time.
Reptar's been at it for a minute.
Reptar. Yeah, did we cool. go through the whole list, or were there a few more shirts you got?
Well, I have the 2 pinks, the orange, the green, the dress. This one, 6. I have 2 Reptars. Maybe I only have 8. I lied. I'm sorry. I lied. I must leave.
We're losing viewers right now.
It's a respectable count. Did I see the green one?
Yes.
Okay, so then there's 8.
That was the Reptar.
Ryan, can I ask a question before we get into things?
Go for it.
Yeah, for sure.
When Ryan got here, you said you had to use the potty.
Yes.
Is that how you always phrase going to the bathroom?
Absolutely. No, I am an adult. I can call it whatever I want. I taught middle school for like a decade, and I would tell my kids, I was like, you have to ask me to use the potty. I was like, they don't say bathroom. I was like, can I use the potty? I was like, go for it. Or I'd be like, make sure you use the potty before we start the show, because I was a theater teacher. I would say potty all the time. I'm an adult. I can call it what I want.
So you force your students to say potty.
Well, I mean, most wouldn't, but I would just be like, call it the potty. And they're like, can I use the hall pass? I was like, to do what?
Potty.
But no, I'm an adult. I call it a potty 24/7.
A fun phrase. I just didn't know if you're putting on a show for
in all facets of my life, I say potty.
That's great. And I love the rationale is because you're an adult, you say potty.
Why can't I call it a potty? Why must I call it a restroom or the toilet or the water closet? Like, why can't I call it the potty?
I do feel like over time I've evolved in how I say. I do like potty because it's just fun to say.
Absolutely.
But I think I say it's so boring now, I say I'm going to use the restroom.
Yeah, womp womp.
But it sounds sophisticated.
If I say I use the potty, you're like, all right, this guy's fun. this guy's fun at a party.
Yeah, it also kind of like intrinsically, subliminally makes you feel like you're going to get a treat afterwards. Or you say potty.
You're going to sticker.
I usually say me go wee wee now.
Oh wow, that one.
I'm an adult.
Yeah.
There are limits, Taylor. Okay.
That's not true. I think I go restroom.
Yeah. Boring.
Bathroom just doesn't make sense.
What do they say in Britain? They say washroom.
Yeah, the washroom. Water closet.
But I never wash my hands, so I wouldn't call that.
Oh.
I wash my hands. I wash my hands.
Okay. Did we learn nothing in 2020?
Well, it is a joy to have you and to see you after so long. You started here in Utah, but you've since moved to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then... where are you living now?
I live in Brooklyn, New York.
Ooh. Wow.
The Big Apple. Nobody knows me there. It's fun.
Give us a quick pros and cons of each place you
okay,
lived.
North Carolina, gorgeous. Beautiful weather. My first Christmas there, it was 75 degrees. Lovely. Everyone talks about, I don't mind humidity. I don't. I also don't mind dry heat. I don't mind hot weather. So I don't, a lot of people complain about, the humidity or whatever. I loved it. Traffic, for me, was, non-existent in North Carolina because they're not landlocked by mountains. So, the freeways are, there's literally a whole belt loop around the whole metro area.
Oh, nice.
And then there's lots of, side streets and interstates that, I never really got stuck in traffic, which was lovely. I also had some family out there, so that was really nice. A con is... I don't know. I really like North Carolina. I don't have too many cons about North Carolina. Yeah, people are like, oh, the airport's small. It's nice. I literally walk through security.
Small airports are amazing.
Yeah, so you're limited in flight options.
Yes,
but
just the function of getting through security.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff,
oh, no.
I
did
better.
The Chattanooga airport last month. I was I walked up and there was one guy at security and I was fumbling to get my wallet out because I didn't have enough time because there literally was no line. But it was the longest screening process because there was only one guy there. So I had to wait for him to slowly check everything. I was like, oh, right. Usually small airports get you through fast. This one, they were nice though. And I wasn't in a rush, but neither were they.
That guy then goes and flies the plane.
Yeah.
And he's also the gate agent. And then he taxis. He puts on the vest. He's a one-man show out there. No, I love small airports. So, I don't know. I don't have too many negative things to say about North Carolina. I really loved it.
When nice. I went there, I found that the Popeyes there was so much better than Popeyes in Utah.
Yeah. Well, there's so many other options. Cookout. I mean, there's a lot of things better
than... Is that funny to you, Taylor?
Yeah, but
it's very on brand for you.
Did you go to Cookout?
I don't think
the menu is overwhelming. I remember the first time I went, I was like, oh, I get a tray and I get two mains and two sides.
Is that
you can get a main of quesadilla and a side of quesadilla?
Whoa.
Is that a North Carolina original restaurant?
People online are gonna quit because they love the Cookout in the South. I think it's just a Southern thing.
Okay.
Guys, I don't see.
I think Jordan only goes to chains that they have in Utah outside of Utah to see how it measures
so good.
Up.
If anyone's living in the South, please eat a cookout today in honor.
Is there a lot of cookouts?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And what I would normally get was I would get the two corn dog and chicken nuggets with a side of quesadilla and a side of fries. That's a tray. Oh, I love it. The first time I went...
That goes with your I'm going potty statement so well.
He's an adult. He can order what he wants.
I am an adult. I can do what I want.
So we cover North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The scenery's beautiful.
Love
no
it.
Traffic.
Well, there is traffic, but I as a comedian, I don't have a real job. So I never had to deal with rush hour stuff. But even then, traversing around everything was so convenient. We're here in Salt Lake, everything's north or south, and then you get stuck in a gridlock moving east-west.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a con for Utah. What are some pros?
Oh, hiking. I miss it so much. Every weekend, there was a year I did 40 out of 52 weekends I went on a hike.
Wow.
And I loved it. I love going on hikes, and most of them were by myself. And it was just lovely. And everyone was like, you go on hikes alone? And they're like, aren't you afraid you're going to die? And I was like, no. that has literally never crossed my mind.
By a wild animal?
Two times I did encounter a moose by myself. And that's when
scary.
I was like,
oh,
maybe
yeah.
they were onto something.
Yeah.
But then it just passed and I walked.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear a lot of negative press about moose, but
Do we? What press are you reading?
We're very pro moose in the Dry Bar podcast. We're trying to combat the misinformation.
Don't you
of
feel
moose.
Like it's always someone
moose
saying, moose are so dangerous?
I said a moose information and no one acknowledged
it. Oh,
that
was good.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's good.
I'm just going to go.
No.
Womp womp.
People always say moose are so dangerous, but.
They are.
But I've encountered. Probably a couple moose in real life. One had a baby moose, a mom with a baby.
Okay, that you got to stay clear of because territorial.
But I'm still here. So, guys, a moose is in the wild. This is
go
just,
pet it.
Just go pet it. Go interact with it.
Show it some love. Forehead to forehead. Become one.
I had never known this, but then I was on a hike, and a baby moose ran by us. And I was like, cute. And everyone was like, we need to get out of here right now.
See what I'm talking about, though? Yeah. But who do you know who's actually been mauled by a moose?
Well, they're not here to speak for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, you are presenting some valid points. I'm like, am I being persuaded?
Right.
I feel like there's wolves out in the wilderness that are planting this information. So people are more scared of moose than
wolves.
It's
a big campaign. They're investing in ads on YouTube.
I feel like New York's going to have lots of pros and lots of cons,
though.
How do you feel about Brooklyn?
Listen, I have always dreamed of living in New York since I was a wee little lad from Brigham City. And I have been on the road a lot, so I haven't established like a New York routine. It's starting to feel like home. I just travel so much because I work so much. I mean,
The burden I'm called to bear.
Yeah. It's just like when I'm in town, sometimes I'm just like laundry, clean, pay bills, sleep, repack for another trip. Like, so I'm starting to get into a routine when I'm home to make it more homey. The nice thing is like there are always new restaurants to try. Most of my friends live in different neighborhoods, so there's a pro and con to that where I'm like, I can go explore new neighborhoods. And the problem is I have to sit on the subway for an hour to an hour and a half.
How do you feel about the subway?
I love it.
It's pretty. It's insane. It's like, I can't believe this operation exists.
Yeah, no. And like, you can go to any neighborhood at any time and never have to worry about like parking or whatever. The subway, for the most part, always runs. And where I live in between four train lines. So one is always invariably down, but that means three are always functioning. So in other neighborhoods, they're dependent on one line. But, you know, I've got the B and the Q and the 2 and the 5, and I can get to wherever I need to go from there. And you call it good.
Very nice.
Are you one of those New York people that are like, when people are like, what about the rats? And they go, but the rats are kind of the culture of New York.
No, the rats are stupid. people who defend rats, I'm like, you are unhinged. Like, why are we defending the rodent? New York has a rat czar, which I think is hilarious. Her whole goal is to eliminate rodents. Yeah, she's literally called the rat czar.
So it's a government position?
Yes. So the mayor hired a rat czar. To be fair, doing good work. Like, rats are, like, one of the initiatives is, like, just no loose trash. So, like, people would just, like, leave garbage on set, but, like, they increased garbage services, so garbage is being picked up more regularly, so rats don't have a place to, like, nest and hide. And they're, like, when I first moved there were a lot of big rats in my neighborhood. Haven't seen a lot lately.
Whoa.
I mean, we mock her, we make fun of her. She's doing the Lord's work.
She's the czar.
She's the czar.
Does she kind of? I picture her looking kind of rat-like with like big teeth.
No, I can't remember what she looks like. I do remember her press conference. She was very fiery. She was just like, "We will get these rats," and I was like, "This feels like a comedy movie where it's just like a press conference over the most silly thing." But like, in defense of the people who are anti-rats. Job's getting done. Like, I'm just saying, we are seeing... Now, granted, summer is about to hit up. That's the rat season. That's busy rat season.
Oh, yeah.
So, because they come out of hibernation, they come out of nesting. Right. But my apartment used to have a big mouse problem, and after a few months of living there, the mice have effectively, like, gone away. And we've only caught, I think, 2 mouse in the last, like, 4 or 5 months in our apartment, when it used to be, like, a weekly thing.
Really?
So yeah.
So either they're gone or they're gathering.
They're stocking up. They're building an army in Prospect Park, and then they're gonna go marching forth. No. So I mean, I would say like I haven't seen too many big rats.
That's because last time I went to New York, I saw many.
Well, if you're in the subway, like down below, like you'll see them on the tracks, but like at least in my neighborhood.
That's good.
I'm not seeing a lot of them.
That's good.
Well, there we go.
The world is getting to be a better place.
Yeah. Progress.
Viva la Rat Czar.
Seamless transition.
Viva la Rat Czar.
Is that what we're going to call this episode? Viva la Rat Czar?
That actually is a great name. Yeah, that would be a great t-shirt also. Ryan, you were a middle school teacher for a while.
I was for nearly a decade.
And but you haven't done it for a few years.
Well, I say nearly a decade. I taught 9 years in Utah, and then I moved to North Carolina, and I took a year off, and then I went back to teaching, and I quit before the end of first quarter. So I did serve 9.25. Well, 9.23. I didn't quite finish. I left a week before the end of first quarter. So a little over 9 years, but just under 10.
So you got a little feel for the coming generation.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how's the future of America looking?
Listen, we need a deep breather. I would say I met some incredible kids that I'm like, the world's going to be just fine. And then I've met some like children that I'm like, oh, the power of prayer better come in handy in the near future. What I would say is a lot of it is, how do I say this without offending people? Because I'm not a parent.
Just go for it.
Okay. Especially given with the pandemic, a lot of household rules were laxed, and so that in turn turned into more kids who are more lax on school rules, and I think that will snowball and spiral. Because I think a lot of parents were very overwhelmed, understandably so, during the pandemic. We were already seeing a decline in literacy, and then the pandemic exacerbated that, and then we are very behind grade level.
Were you a disciplinarian in the classroom?
Like, I was the theater teacher. I was not. Yeah. I was like, we're having fun. Yay, acting. You all, remember, you all signed up for this class. You all have to participate. You literally chose this. There were always like a few kids that were like, my mom put me here. I was like, well, sucks to be you, I guess. Like, you didn't want to be here. But for the most part, like, the kids that I worked with were generally, like, I don't want to say the good kids, but, like, they were the more fun, outgoing. That's why, like, I do have, like, good, like, there are good eggs coming out of this generation. I'm not one of these, like, generationalists who's just like, everyone in the next generation is terrible. But I just would say as a collective body, also with the advent of social media, like, this is another hot take, no child should have a smartphone until they're like 16 or 18. And
unless they're watching the Dry Bar podcast.
And,
let's make that clear.
And they definitely don't need social media. Because the comparison, the keeping up with the Joneses, like when we were growing up, if someone bullied you or was annoying to you at school, you could at least go home and never think about them. These kids get texted and taunted and Instagram DM'd and people make TikToks about them that they can never escape that environment. And so it's creating a lot of unhealthy discourse. And like I don't know if you are, like, there was the Bakersfield woman who called for threats on the Bakersfield City Council for not calling a ceasefire. But she's so internet programmed that she would see people calling people out online. She gave them death threats in person, and she was charged with multiple federal crimes and is in prison for many years now. Because she was used to being online where people just say whatever they want. But when you go in person to a city council meeting and you declare a threat on a government elected official, there are consequences.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of this generation, the consequences haven't sunk in and they don't realize the gravity of a lot of the things. So that's where I do get concerned, is we're going to have a bunch of preteens in the next decade become adults thinking there are no rules, there are no consequences, and they will be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah.
This is such a fun silly little podcast.
there was a kid around here who was like taping dead fish to ATMs. Did you see that?
I did see that.
And
I had nothing to do with it.
No. He said kid, Jordan. He said kid.
Oh, yeah.
Not grown man.
Young kid.
But then youthful, again, there must 35. Have been
youthful
some adult
spry.
Behind it.
Wasn't me.
But yeah, so like, yeah, that seems like a fun, it's like funny when you see a video about it, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, there was a TikTok trend a few years ago where they would go demolish bathrooms at their schools. Like, it was a TikTok. At my school, like, we had hall monitors outside of every bathroom. Like, we were supposed to, like, restrict like access, they could only go in like one at a time. Also, one time kids set up a shrine to Danny DeVito in the girls' bathroom, and it was one of the funniest things ever. They had like lighted candles and flowers, and they made a poster with a lot of Danny DeVito stuff, and there was music playing. And a student walked into my class and was like, Mr. Irwin, there's a shrine to Danny DeVito's in the girls' bathroom. And I was like, I need to get the vice principal because I want to go and see it. So I was like, Brandy, there is something in the girls' bathroom. We have to go check it out. And there, lo and behold, there was a shrine to Danny DeVito. But no, like there's like a lot of TikTok trends where you see like, oh, that's so cool. Like, and there's quote unquote no consequences for it. And then they do it in person and they're like, what? I saw kids online. Like, you've seen like videos of like kids playing like video games, like calling out like Call of Duty, like death threats or whatever. But then they like call something into their school and they get arrested. Yeah. So yeah. I think for this generation is I don't think they fully, because their brains aren't fully developed, they don't understand the consequences and the ramifications of a lot of their choices. So I'm holding my breath. I've taught enough good eggs that I hope they shine forth, but I'm cautiously looking at the future.
Can I tell you my take on this?
Go for it.
Sorry to cut you off.
It's probably a lot more funny than mine.
No, that was fun. Because I still teach at university. So a lot of freshmen just now we're getting, or probably the past couple year or two, a bunch of freshmen who maybe the biggest chunk of their high school experience was during COVID. And I think they're some of the meanest and dumbest people I've ever met in my life. Just kidding. That was really extreme.
I thought that would get a laugh. Well, I was agreeing. I was nodding because I'm like, they're brutal because
they're so mean.
They roast each other online mercilessly. Yeah. And then they get in person and they can't take it in person. Because if you dish it back, they can't handle it. They melt down.
Do you want to hear this prank that happened to me? I was at graduation. And a kid came up to me holding a baby.
Oh.
One of the graduating people was holding a baby. And he said, hey, Jordan, do you remember me? I was in your class. And I did not remember him at all.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. Because you just have to lie in those situations.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And he goes, I just want you to know that I loved your class so much that I named my baby after you.
Oh.
This is her. This is Jordan. And I go, that's amazing. And it was too late then to ask, what's your name again? And so this kid walked away and I felt so bad that I didn't remember his name, but I was also like, wow, I really made an impact even though I didn't even remember this kid. And then one of my students that I actually knew came up to me after and said, that guy just came up to me and asked your name and said he was going to play a prank on you and they think they're filming you.
Honestly, I hate prank shows, but that's a good one.
And I'm still waiting for it to come out online. I haven't seen it yet. I think I responded too nice.
Okay, well, when I was in Vegas... they do those pranks where like the escalators, you know, on the strip, and like someone like reaches over and grabs a hand.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're on the phone and they'll say the most unhinged things.
Right.
So I was behind one guy who was on one of the things and I saw the camera. So I didn't like, I just was like so annoyed. Like, cause I was like, you're not pranking me. And I just like looked at him and stared at him. And then as I walked by the camera, I like looked straight at the camera and I just shook my head or whatever.
I love that.
And one of the guys was like, oh, cause I ruined the shot. Cause there were other people around me reacting, but because I was staring at the camera the whole time, I ruined the shot. And I was like, honestly, prank shows need to be demonetized on YouTube. They need to be banned. Like, because you've seen people, like, there have been pranksters that have gotten like shot because they pranked the wrong people.
Right.
And every time I'm like, that's fair. Like, that's retribution. That's karmic. Like, I'm not a big fan of pranks.
If you're gonna prank, you gotta be willing to get shot, man.
Yeah. For the love of the game. For the love of the game.
Did you, when you were in New York, do you see a lot of social media influencers hanging around, making stuff on every corner?
Yeah. Do I recognize any of them? No.
No. Yeah.
None of them are famous. Yeah. I do it too. Like, I'll make videos for like TikTok or Instagram where I'll try and say something funny. And I always do. And every single one lands.
Follow
like thunderous applause, honestly. Like, rave reviews. And I see it all the time. Where, like, especially if you go to Times Square, which is, it's like, no one, every regular New Yorker detests Midtown. Like, we only go to see Broadway shows. Like, and we're only there because our out-of-town friends want to go see the lights. Like, none of us walk through Times Square willingly.
Sure.
But there are cameras everywhere. Like, people set up things and they'll, like, do music videos. And I always intentionally walk through them so they have to reshoot. And I was like, did you get a filming permit? I didn't think so. I can walk wherever I want. Like, if you had a filming permit, there would be a barricade. But I'm going to walk. There's a straight line. I'm walking through it. Like, I don't care.
It'd be awesome if you could find all the videos you did that in. And do, like, a super cut.
They wouldn't air them. They just refilm. I was like, I don't care. Like, I'll walk around them with reason. But if it's packed and the only way through is this gap between them and the camera, I'm walking through. I don't care. Like, I have somewhere to be. And it's a Broadway show.
You already have a good New York attitude, man. I like that.
Oh, there was a one time where there was like bikes and motorcycles and four-wheelers that were running a red light, and I had a walk, and I just started running. And I just ran through, dodged them. One guy like flipped me off, and they were like yelling at me. And I just, at the end, I just, like, the people looked at me. I was like, I had the right of way. Like, what did you want me to do? Like, my favorite New York experience, well, I have a lot of them, but one of them was, you know how when you have a dog that's like not nice, people yell not friendly, it's like you don't come near it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this one guy doing service.
I do that walking around with Taylor.
Well, this one girl ahead of me.
Fair enough.
This guy was like, would you like to take a survey? And she just looked at him and went, not friendly. And she walked away and I was like, I'm obsessed with her attitude.
Oh, that's funny.
I have to have that. Like, yeah, it just, like, I got hate crammed on the subway and I was like, I think I've made it. I think I've arrived as a New Yorker now. I'm a legit New Yorker. Like, if a complete stranger is going to yell obscenities at me and curse at me, like, I've made it.
What happened? Was it just a random yelling?
No, I was a gay man who walked on the subway.
Oh.
So I sashayed and twirled. No, I just walked in with a fun shirt like this and then my bright pink fanny pack over my shoulder. No questions. Like, people were like, yeah, okay. But like, I walked in and he just was yelling at me and I just like looked at him and I was like, are you talking to me? And he goes, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And I just kept staring at him till he stopped. I was like, because nothing's more uncomfortable than someone just deadpan staring at you. I out-creeped out the creeper.
Yeah, like, that's the best.
That's what you got to do. Also, I'm 6'5", 300 pounds. No one's going to mess with me. No matter
how surprised they are yelling at you to begin with.
No matter how dainty I appear.
Yeah.
Or petite, they presume me to be. I was like, no one's messing with me. Like,
I hope that you were actively sashaying while you're deadpan staring.
Plié, rond de jambe, like every ballet term I know, which is three.
That's pretty good. Yeah. How many do you know?
I know four.
Okay, name them.
There we go.
Oh, we don't have time. Black Swan.
No, that's not a move.
Oh,
like plié is like when you do the little squat.
Curtsy.
Iambic pentameter.
Iambic pentameter.
That is Shakespeare. Tondu. Oh,
Shakespeare. That's another one.
Soiree.
These are not ballet terms. I don't... Wow, okay. The arts education has been severely lacking.
Triple axel?
Skating.
Well, they do the same... I mean, it's basically same principles. Skating without
same,
skates.
Same outfits.
If only. Oh, that'd be wonderful. Let's hear a little bit about your journey to stand-up.
Great. I started it and was really good at it.
Perfect. Okay.
End of story. Yeah. Let's move on. No, I had never been to a stand-up comedy show. I had never watched a stand-up comedy special. I remember when I was like a preteen, there was this thing called Saturday Night Live. Do you remember this?
Yeah. I've heard, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Like, so we had that. That was it. And then when we would go on road trips, my cousin would play the Brian Regan. The big yellow one is the sun.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that Brian Regan?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Okay.
The crazy thing is, for me, I never really listened to Brian Regan, but I knew all the jokes because everyone quoted them all the time.
Yes.
It's wild.
So that was my only experience with stand-up. And then I graduated college, like, whatever. Like, and I had never been to a stand-up comedy show. I had never seen, like, a stand-up comedy special. I had seen, like, those Conan clips. Like, my brother-in-law would be like, this is really funny. And it's, like, Gary Goldman's, like, States Abbreviations.
Yeah.
One was sure. So good. But, like things like that. But I had never had, like, really much interest in stand-up. And then I was looking for a new apartment, and I found one in Salt Lake, and my new potential roommate was Aaron Woodall, a drive-by comedian.
Oh, I didn't
comedian.
Know that. I didn't
know this. Yeah, he was a drive-by. Okay. He has two drive-by specials, but I was like, he was like, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian. I was like, oh, I'm a theater teacher. And he goes, oh, he's like, I've wanted to get into acting more. I was like, oh, and I don't know why I said this, but I was like, oh, I've always wanted to do stand-up. And I was like, I've never, ever wanted to do stand-up. It just like came out because I was like, yeah, like, you've wanted to do my job, I wanted to do yours. Like, I don't know if it was like being polite or whatever, but then I was like, why don't I try it? How hard could it be? Because I'm such a narcissist and so delusional. I was like, it's just like theater. So I moved in and I signed up for my first open mic and I went and I did decently well.
You were funny from the beginning.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to admit
it. I know. You're not the only comedian who said that to me. They're like, it was so infuriating that you were good at the very beginning. I was like, I'm sorry. My first open mic, there was a local comic who spit on me from the stage.
Are we naming names?
Oh, yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But
after?
Off mic? Yeah, off mic. Yeah. But it was part of their act. where they took a drink of water and went, we did a spit take. And I was seated on the second row. And I was like,
I know who it is.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is, and here's the thing. Before my first open mic, I was like, to prepare, I should watch a comedy special. The first comedy special I ever watched was Hannah Gadsby's Nanette, which is not traditional stand-up. So my
entry point into stand-up comedy is that.
So my foray was like, oh, it must be really heartfelt.
Yep. It must
have emotional, compelling drama. It has to have a story arc through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because my theater brain was like, oh, it's got to tell a story. So then I get up there and I hear the atrocities that are happening at this open mic, like crimes against humanity. And like, my frame of reference is Nanette. And I was just like, and then I get spit on and I was like, what is this art form? And then after my third open mic, I like told one of my friends, I'm like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And they're like, oh, okay. Insane. Uh-huh. Like absolutely unhinged. And 3 years later, I quit my day job, moved across the country. I hit 6 years this summer. I've been doing it full time for a year and a half. No day job, just stand up.
Awesome.
Wow.
So very unhinged behavior on my part. But yeah, I got my first rubber special. I filmed it 14 months into comedy.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Which is insane.
Man. When you started doing stand up, did you see yourself as you doing stand up or like a character doing stand up?
I saw it as me. Because I saw it also as a hobby at first. So, like, I didn't want to lose my job over any sort of joke. So, like, I walked in being like, I'm only going to write clean. I'm not going to swear. I'm not going to talk about, like, drugs or alcohol or innuendo or anything. Because I don't want a single parent to, like, find a clip or see a show of me and then go to the school board and be like, this is what's teaching our kids. Like, I didn't want that. And especially as a gay teacher in Utah, there's already, you know, some eyes on me that I was like, okay. So I tried to make it as, like that if my siblings were watching a video clip in the room, that if my nieces and nephews were like, is that Uncle Ryan? That they could watch.
Right.
Too. Like my new driver special, there's a 5-minute set about the Babysitter's Club book series and the hierarchy of power within the book series. Like, that's the sort of stuff I started writing. So, like, I had, like, a very clear mindset of, like, what my voice was going in. Like, I knew who I was having, you know, struggled to, like, come out and all those different things. Like, I knew who I was when I walked on stage, where I feel like a lot of comics spend years, like, finding themselves and finding their voice and their persona. I walked in with a clear, like, limit of things that thresholds that I wouldn't cross. And I actually think that helped me accelerate faster because I was like, I'm just going to focus in on this area instead of like shooting all these darts on a dartboard and seeing what sticks. Is I'm like, I'm only going to be focusing on right here. Totally. And I think that really helped me accelerate my stand up. So no, I Rodney Norman gave me really good advice early on. He goes, you're a heightened version of yourself, but you should be yourself. Mm. And I was like, okay.
Yeah,
that makes total sense to me because I know people get up there and like they try and create this persona and they put on a hat and blah, 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 and that works for some people. But I was like, I'm telling stories about my life, so it doesn't make sense that I'm going to be Reginald.
Yeah,
that's interesting coming from Rodney because he's actually a lessened version of himself.
To be fair, he is much more animated in real life than he is on stage. So, but I think he heightened it in the other way.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was like, oh, okay. Because like, I'm like, you're not just like talking. Like right now, this sort of cadence and this delivery, like that I'm doing this podcast wouldn't be the most entertaining way to deliver things, but like putting in some thought and making sure like I, you know, punch things up so that like I'm a little more than my normal self. Because it's also a performing arts. Like,
yeah, I'm like saying theater training probably informed that.
So like for me, I'm like, oh, it's a show. I'm putting on a show.
Yeah.
Like I'm Ryan Irwin, the comedian, but Ryan Irwin, the person is very different.
Right.
Because a lot of people ask, they're like, oh, well, like, is it because you were funny in real life? That's why you're funny on stage. I'm like, no, those are two different things. I call it party funny and stage funny. There are people who are hilarious at parties that get on stage and can never do well. And there are people who are really funny on stage that are horrible to hang out with. And there are some people who are crossover both.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
I was like, are we gonna address this? Are we talking? Is this an intervention?
That was not intentional.
That makes it worse a little bit. Actually, that was a subconscious glance at me. Mm-hmm. Terrible to hang out with, but funny on stage. Funny on stage.
Oh, I didn't hear that last part.
So for me, like that's sort of like what defined like me and my like. I love it when like a hot guy tries open mic, because you know everyone in his life has always been like, you're so funny. He goes, I am. And then he gets on stage and bombs.
Yeah.
That brings so much joy to my life. Oh, because they're like, he's like, oh, that was so funny at the party. And like, they bring like 20 friends.
Yeah.
And then they bomb, but all their friends laugh because they're like, we're here to support Mitch.
Yeah.
And just bombs. And
their name is Mitch most of the time. Yeah. Also.
I was like, what's a Utah County name? but no, so like, when I started, I was like, okay, of course I adjusted after Nanette. I was like, maybe let's watch another stand-up special.
Okay.
What
was your second frame of reference?
I can't remember, but I
Dane Cook, just to get the full spectrum?
I would watch like one a week. So like, I just kind of like get an idea. I'm like, oh, okay. Like this makes sense. This is so. And then I would watch more clips, go to more shows. And I started to piece together. I was like, oh, Nanette was like a one in a million.
Yeah,
type.
Sure.
But my start was, that is the bar.
Yeah.
And no one is meeting it at this open mic.
Who were some of your favorites once you started getting into it?
Like before I even worked with them, like Taylor Tomlinson. Love so Taylor Tomlinson. Yeah. So funny. Fortune Feimster.
Yeah.
So funny. I more gravitated towards female comics. I just found them to be funnier because I thought a lot of their stuff was more like original.
Yeah.
You know, because men oftentimes talk about the same topic. Like if you say, oh, that one comic who talked about like their kids or their wife, I'm like,
literally,
like, I was like for me, I'm like, okay, but like, you know, Fortune Feimster talking about like her mom, like her Southern mom, like taking her, like, I have never, like, and she does like the character voices. I'm like, there's no one that does that.
Yeah.
So like, I really like that. And like, Taylor was such just like, she started as a teenager. So like, and as a female teenage comedian, like there are not too many of those, so like it was just a very unique like perspective of things. So I usually like gravitated towards stuff like that.
Right, and you've been able to work with her.
I opened for both of them on a few occasions.
Yeah,
no, both of them just once at Wise Guys Ogden. I went on the road with Whitney Cummings.
Right.
So oh, yeah,
like,
that seemed awesome. You're doing like theaters and stuff.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. Like we did Kingsbury Hall here in Utah, and then we did the Carolina Theater in Durham, and then the Knight Theater in Charlotte, and then Charleston Music Hall. So
do you think you get her to do our podcast?
Probably not. I don't think
that's
she's
why we brought it up.
I was just a vehicle for a bigger name comedian. No, but she was so nice. Like the weekend I worked with her at Wise Guys, she was just like, hey, like you're super funny, like let me know like if you want to like work with me again. I was like, oh yeah, great. So then I messaged her when I moved to North Carolina. She goes, yeah, do you want to do my North Carolina shows? And I was like, yeah. And then she texted me 3 days before Kingsbury Hall. She goes, hey, are you going to be in Utah this weekend? Do you want to open for me at Kingsbury Hall? And I said, yeah, I'm actually going to be in town. And I booked a flight and quit my job at Target and flew. I'm not there kidding. I was like, this is my moment. This is my big break.
That's amazing.
It wasn't, but great. I still enjoyed it. And I wanted to get out of Target anyway. I was over it.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, thinking about a big break.
Yeah.
Is that like a conception you had coming into stand-up that's kind of gone away, that you were going to have a moment, and then everything was going to change?
Oh, when I got my first Drybar special, I'm like, this is it. Virality. Oh, we're going to have the fame. And then it's like, oh, okay. And I thought when I recorded my Drybar special, I'm like, I have to retire all this material. What if someone sees me in person? Like, Rodney Norman once again was like, nobody knows who you are. Just do your funniest jokes every time you perform. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, great. Thank you. Yeah, like, great advice. Because I've improved a lot of those jokes. Or I've been like, oh, those jokes can be retired. I'm done with those. Because I was only a year into comedy. Like, my voice should improve. Like, my material should be better. So I've been able to retire some of those jokes. But some of those jokes I've been like, oh, I can add more to it because I've become a better writer. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, oh, this is now a much longer story or a much better story to tell.
Yeah.
So I thought like, oh, my first driver. And like when I did comedy festivals, like every comedy festival, I'm like, this is where Jimmy Fallon's booker is going to see me. This is where America's Got Talent's going to see me. And like I was recruited for America's Got Talent. I went through several runs casting, didn't make the live show. Thankful. I wasn't ready for fame yet. I am now though. So if anyone's wondering. But like, just all that stuff. Every moment I was like, this could be my break. And then after like 28 near breaks, I was like, actually, maybe.
Maybe.
The real break has been me all along.
Oh, wow.
I've been my big break.
That's a sweet
starting
message.
Was the big break.
But Ryan, actually, this is your big
this
break.
This podcast is my big 29.
Well, we're getting to about the end here. Is there anything you want to say to your fans? You can address this camera.
Thank you, Stacy. It's my fan. No, I've loved it. I love performing Dry Bar. Like, I love hosting like the Dry Bar shows when I was here. Like, I have a lot of fun. Thank you, guys. I like performing stand up, and I like that you like me. I'm really bad at giving compliments. I can praise myself. The day is long, but like thanking somebody else—that's a tall task, Taylor. I need to know what they did exactly.
Okay. Well, is there anything your fans should be looking forward to?
My new Dry Bar special should be out by the time this podcast is out. I'm recording my second comedy album this weekend
up in Ogden
Wise
Guys. That's where I record my album.
Yep. It's the best, with the exposed brick, the metal, like just the room echoes. So it's gonna be my second comedy album. It's called Full Time Quitter. It's about all the jobs I've quit.
That's awesome.
We love it. Great. Yeah, I've quit a lot of jobs. There's a lot of material.
That's great. And where can they find that?
That should be available later this year, probably on Spotify. They sell the tracks for SiriusXM, so my first album gets played a lot on SiriusXM. And that one was called Thank You, Thank You. Because I realized when I re-listened to my album, I said that about 40 times. So like, every time they laughed at a joke, I'm like, thank you, thank you. And like, I just kept saying that. And I was like, what if I name it this? And the guy recording my album was like, honestly, that's brilliant. He's like, funny. You said that a lot. I was like, fair. Okay. Didn't realize it until I was listening. I was like, well, I thank them a lot, which is crazy because I just said I don't know how to thank people. I thanked them. I've outgrown it.
That's cool though, because then every track is the title track.
Fair. Okay. I feel like this whole time.
Let's not knock over the tree.
Yeah, this whole time, is there a rat in the tree that's going to jump out at me? Like, call back. Comedy.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, that's great.
I've been the rat czar this whole time. Viva la rat czar.
Well, it's been great to talk with you. And it's great to see you after so many years.
Thank you.
And really excited for your success and to see what happens next for you.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. You're
a fabulous guest. You're so fun to talk to.
Thank you. Do I wave goodbye? What do I do?
No, yeah. That is the end. Thanks, folks, for tuning into the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. Make sure to watch Ryan's special that's out on Dry Bar Comedy Plus right now. And clips will be coming out over the next few weeks and months. So look out for that. And we will see you next time. Goodbye, folks.
Bye, everybody.